I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are always liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, and we always endeavor to bring to you fact, not fake, principle, not political party agenda. And I think we might have a little bit of a challenging show today, J.C.
Okay.
I think it's going to, hopefully it's going to be educational, but I think it might be challenging to some foundational, you know, principles, some foundational standards that people say. I wouldn't say principle because I don't know if that would be the right word, but standards that we have today. We're going to talk about children being questioned in the public schools and the modern trend and consequences that we're seeing. Very, very disturbing story happened in Indiana. And our good friend Kate Daly covered this. And she actually interviewed the parents of this child. And they're asking for our help. And I found this to be very compelling. I worked in the juvenile justice system when I was a prosecutor here in Florida. I did a lot of work with student resource officers and the schools, and I think that's something that we need to talk about. And just to give you a little heads up, this will be reason 455 our son will never go to government school.
Right.
The other thing that I want to talk about today is something that keeps hanging on is, can Donald Trump be subpoenaed to testify? And I think the answer to that question depends on who you ask. And so we're going to cover this because I think that this is very, very important discussion. And it's a great opportunity for a constitutional training moment. But I do want to start off with
this. I want to hear that.
You want to hear that?
Yeah, because people that sound like smart people, like I would think there was sort of a duh answer. Like, why are you even asking this question? But I hear a lot of people that are otherwise pretty smart people, I think, saying and sounding very confident when they say it, that, you know, the president can't be subpoenaed, the president can't be indicted, all this sort of stuff, which sounds a little questionable to me. It's like saying
he's
completely above the law.
Right.
So that just sounds weird.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about.
They say it with such confidence. It sounds so convincing.
Well, even.
So I want to understand that.
Even Donald Trump's counsel is saying that.
Yeah, so I want to understand the reasons.
The way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I want to understand for and against. I mean, I'd love to hear what is their reasoning? What is the argument they're making? It's interesting.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I don't believe that their argument holds much merit, but I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Let's start. Which story do you want to start off with?
I'm interested in the subpoena thing.
Okay. Let's start off there then.
What are they saying?
So the argument is that a sitting president cannot be indicted, cannot be subpoenaed, because then that would create if that precedent were established, mm-hmm. that would create a never-ending distraction for the office of the president to have to keep answering all of these subpoenas. You know, anybody could subpoena the president to be in this, you know, to testify in their case and all that other stuff. And so the main argument is that it is an undue burden on the office of the president to have to be subject to subpoena.
That just sounds weird. I mean, so,
yeah.
You know, say you get some, I mean, let's be hyperbolic here. So you get some complete nutcase, right? And mm-hmm. Let's take one maybe not so far-fetched. Let's say he takes the sheriff and he goes and gets women so that he can rape those women. Mm-hmm. And that may sound familiar to some people. And so somebody says, hey, he raped me. Well, sorry, you can't, you know, he's the president. We can't subpoena him. You can't indict him. You can't charge. I mean, what are they saying? I don't understand that.
Well, if you take it from the other perspective, the president being a huge public figurehead across America, what if Joe Blow down the street wants to sue the FBI or wants to sue the Department of Homeland Security or whatever, and then he says, subject to that suit, I'm going to subpoena the president as the head of the executive agency to testify in my trial, which times that by how many million people?
Yeah, that sounds a little frivolous.
Right. Well, and hey, amen, I'm glad you used that word, because here's what I want to present to the people. Just because the president is subject to subpoena does not mean that he is subject to frivolous subpoena.
Right.
Right? So there has to be a merit to the subpoena. Now, the president can be subpoenaed.
But I mean, you have.
And he could challenge that by saying, look, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Okay. I'm not going to answer this subpoena.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. I mean, he would have lawyers. There are lawyers that handle that. It's not like the president has to do anything.
Right.
But there'd
exactly.
be a process for weeding that out.
Reading out the frivolous
But to make a
subpoenas.
Blanket statement, you just simply can't subpoena a president.
Right.
That sounds very authoritarian to me.
Well, and President Trump's counsel is now saying,
if he's directly involved, directly alleged, mm-hmm. you know, to have committed a crime or what have you. Which,
right.
I mean, I don't, that's kind of what they're alleging in this case, right? You
right.
colluded with Russians. So
right.
Now, I understand then you could accuse the president of anything whatsoever, but
right.
once again, you have a legal team
right.
that then there's a process to deal with that.
And I believe that's one, and I know that to be one of the appeals that Trump's counsel is making. That, you know, we are going to challenge this, their words are, we're going to challenge this all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to. But I think what we need to make clear is that attorneys write these things in such a way that, we are going to make sure that we cover all the bases. So obviously one of the bases is he's the president. You can't subpoena him, which already has been established as not true. In 1974, the Supreme Court decided that Richard Nixon could be subpoenaed for documents and tape recordings.
Yeah, so I hear people saying, oh, the court's already said no or whatever.
Yeah.
This looks to me another instance of partisanship over principle. So
yes.
they're actually
yes.
not, when you listen to it, it's not that they're saying a president can't be subpoenaed. They're really saying Donald Trump can't be subpoenaed.
Yeah, and that's
right. Because what
why,
if it was Hillary Clinton?
Right, and that's why I said this is going to be a little bit challenging, because I'm going to just flat out tell you, there is absolutely nothing in the Constitution that exempts the president of the United States from subpoena or indictment or from any
from the laws.
Any law that is made in pursuance to the Constitution. And that's what we need to remember here. The Constitution is the predominating law. And since there is no limit, but I think we have to understand as well, now we teach a course at Liberty First University on the power of the president. We go through Article 2 almost line by line. And if you'll remember from that course, there was a huge discussion between the Anti-Federalists and the Federalists about this power that is given to the president.
Yeah.
And do you, I'll put you on the spot. What, do you remember what was the chiefest concern that the Anti-Federalists had with an office of the president that had one single president officer?
No.
It was that he would become a king.
Right.
Over time. That being alone, that he would be able to accumulate power to himself and become a king. Now, wouldn't the assertion that the president does not have the, that no one could subpoena the president, the president is not subject to indictment, wouldn't that sound more like someone who's above the law, above the Constitution, and someone more like a king than a president?
Oh, of course.
And so we know from that basic principle that that cannot be the fact about the president of the United States.
Okay, for dummies out there like me, and I'm not a lawyer, what exactly is meant by a subpoena? Is that like forcing someone to testify?
I don't. Very, very good question. Just, and that's the other point that we need to get to. So number one, can the president be subpoenaed? It depends on who you ask, because I think that people are asserting today that the Supreme Court would say no, that he can't be subpoenaed for this. No, he can't be indicted. But remember, the Supreme Court is not always constitutional.
But what is the reason, just that they say it? What is the, like you said, it would, I'm hearing you saying the reasons it would be a bother. This would be a bother.
Yeah, pretty much.
Isn't pretty much anybody subpoenaed, that's a bother?
Yeah.
You know, because he's the president. I don't understand it. What's the legal reasoning? Is anyone pointing to some sort of constitutional principle, some sort of precedent? I don't hear anything but...
Well, they can't be pointing to precedent because, like I said, the Supreme Court already made the opinion in 1974 that President Nixon could be subpoenaed for documents.
Okay, so if they subpoena Donald Trump, and what if he doesn't want to testify?
No, here's the thing. So that's the other thing. Because the president is truly bound by the Constitution, I want to make one more point before we move on to this does he have to testify thing. If we'll remember, the president of the United States can be impeached, right?
Right.
And the grounds for impeachment is conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. If grounds for impeachment are conviction of these crimes, yet the president of the United States cannot be indicted while he is a sitting president, then how can he be impeached?
Yeah, you can't be convicted.
You can't be convicted.
Therefore, you can't be impeached.
Right. So that is a contradiction, which points out to us once again that all of this is a partisan thing and not a constitutional thing. So when we get back from the break, we will answer the question, if Chris Ann Hall were counsel for Donald Trump, what would her advice be to Donald Trump? Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, your daily dose of current events given to you in real truth, real fact, and real principled format.
Can I say once again, rhetorically, what if it were Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Why would you say these things about the president that you wouldn't want them to apply to Hillary Clinton? Because you can't tell me that all people saying the president can't be subpoenaed, can't be indicted, why wouldn't that apply to, say, Secretary of State? Right? Why wouldn't the same thing apply? You wanted Hillary Clinton indicted. You wanted Hillary Clinton subpoenaed. If she were president, you would want her subpoenaed and indicted. Why would you be making these points?
Let me point out to you, Article 2, remember everybody, Article 2 is the article in the Constitution which defines and enumerates the powers of the President of the United States. So Article 2, Section 4 reads, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. You see, the President of the United States, along with the Vice President of the United States, are all civil officers. So they are subject to the Constitution and subject to the same terms of removal that every other civil officer is. And so it is a rhetorical question, because if we can impeach Eric Holder, if we can impeach Hillary Clinton, which we still can impeach Hillary Clinton, that is also a precedent that has been established. Even though she's not sitting in office right now as Secretary of State, she can still be impeached for her activity while Secretary of State, and impeachment precludes her from ever running for office again.
And you're not,
wouldn't that be awesome?
You're not saying Donald Trump should be impeached.
No.
You're saying that's this part of the process,
right,
to do that. Just the
right
nature of the fact that he is subject to,
just like any other
president,
right,
would include, at least seems to imply, that
right
all the processes that would lead to that have to be allowed.
Right, exactly. So here's the question is, okay, Chrisann, what if you were counsel for Donald Trump, what would be your advice to Donald Trump? Well, my advice to Donald Trump would be...
close your Twitter account.
Well, that would have been my advice on day stinking two. Yeah, right, exactly. Or at least close your personal Twitter account. And so I think he's a little bit more tempered on the POTUS, at POTUS Twitter account. And
just I don't keep think him he has access to it.
Oh, well, maybe that's it. It's controlled by someone else. Close your Twitter account. So my advice to Donald Trump would be, okay, we will appeal this, right, mm-hmm, and say this is a frivolous subpoena because of the nature of the hearing. So the whole investigation is frivolous at this point, right?
Yeah.
It is completely worthless. No one has ever been charged with the crime they've been investigated for. All these charges come from things that they've gathered ancillary to that. So
here's where it gets weird to me. Who do you file that with? Who has oversight of this thing?
Well,
you have this. They've created this so-called special.
The Supreme Court does.
Investigator, special counsel.
Well, it would be under the jurisdiction, according to Article 3, it would be under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. Okay, so you would take the Supreme Court, you would argue that it's frivolous, and we don't have to go, and therefore we are not, we don't have to answer the subpoena. We're not saying we can't be subpoenaed, we're saying we don't have to answer it because
it's frivolous. This particular
subpoena. Yes, because it's frivolous, yeah, right? If the Supreme Court then said, you know, it's an investigation, you have to go. This is what I tell Donald Trump. Say nothing.
Plead the fifth.
Say nothing. So even though the Constitution binds Trump, requires him as president to submit to this process of due process.
Doesn't mean
right?
he has to say anything.
Doesn't mean he has to say anything, because the same Constitution that would compel him to go is the same Constitution that would protect him as well. And we all know that the subpoena process is not an investigation for the Russian collusion. It is a fishing expedition to get Donald Trump to say something, because then all they have to do is pick some random useful idiot to say, well, Donald Trump said something different
to me.
He told me something else. So now we are going to file perjury charges against Donald Trump. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we get back from the break. We're so glad to have you at the Chrisann Hall Daily Journal.
As arrogant men tear up our Constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our
The Chrisann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find.
Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal here for you. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com. I want to mention to you, we have my husband and co-host JC Hall with us. And I'm really, really excited about this, bringing these educational trainings to you every day. Remember, at LibertyFirstUniversity.com, we need to study the role of the president in our study of Article 2 within the Constitution, and we have that training for you. And what you kept saying throughout the show, JC, was that, look, why are you making this argument for Donald Trump when you wouldn't make that argument for Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
And it's the thing that I've seen a trend throughout America.
Not you, by the way.
Right.
I'm saying,
exactly.
Why would one make argument?
Yeah. So when Barack Obama was president, there was a great deal of interest in the limit of the presidential power.
Mm-hmm.
There were everyday posts about executive orders exceeding authority and all this stuff.
Well, there still is. It's just on the left now.
Yeah, it's
then
just
it
on
was
the left.
On the right.
Right, but now, the people that were concerned about presidential power under Barack Obama, they don't seem to be as concerned now that Donald Trump is president.
That should be an opportunity for self reflection and self examination. That reveals you are driven by party more than you're driven by principle.
And that's why I want to beseech you, my brethren, to just please take a moment. And if the thought of what we're saying, that President Trump, should be allowed to be subpoenaed, he should be allowed to be indicted, if that stirs some kind of negative feeling in you,
makes you hate Chris Ann Hall.
Yeah, right? Losing friends. Please just remember that Donald Trump will not be president forever. Yeah. And the standard that you apply for him must be the standard for every other president,
because guess what?
It's a standard.
God forbid Hillary Clinton get elected by these lunatics, and then now you're going to be making the opposite argument. That's the sad part of it. But what you said was, I think, very reasonable. First, you should be counsel for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Thank you.
But number two, I mean, you basically said, bring on the subpoena. I mean, we're not afraid of subpoenas. And then I don't have to testify.
Right.
That's my right or whatever. Because we know it's a trap. So he could still be consistent. The president could still be consistent with what he said. This is a fishing expedition. It's a witch hunt. It's a trap. We know it's a trap. So, yeah, sure, bring on a subpoena. We'll submit to your subpoena. But I'm still not stepping into your trap. I'm not going to sit there and say something just so you can make something up.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the time that the census worker came to our property with one of those citizen
I'll
survey
tell that story.
Census.
But the third thing I was going to say is, it reminds me, what is that, is it Shakespeare line, thou dost protest too much?
Yeah, that's Macbeth, yeah.
When they're saying, subpoena, we should be subpoenaed and freaking out about subpoena, it makes them look bad. Like, what are you're scared of? You got to twist the law so much because you're so guilty? Come on.
Well,
just
I think
follow
the
law, stick with your principle, and tell the truth. If you say, this is the truth, and we're going to stick with it, then just do it. And then if you know it's a trap, don't fall in a trap. But yeah,
Well, I think the other argument is, if he goes up there and pleads the fifth, it'll be because he's guilty. And that's the problem that we have with our understanding of due process, that exercising your rights somehow makes you guilty. If you didn't have anything to hide, you wouldn't, you would be saying something.
That's going to be what they're talking about is public opinion. That has nothing to do with the trial and investigation itself.
Right.
It doesn't matter what. Because the lefties are going to think he's guilty no matter what he does. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think if he just stood up there and said to the subpoena, under testimony, this is a fishing expedition. You're not interested in my testimony. This is a trap, and therefore I will not testify. I am exercising my right to say nothing at all, to remain silent.
I'm following the law.
Right,
I showed up.
The right
I submitted to the subpoena,
right.
But that doesn't compel me to say anything.
Right.
So that which is how I dealt with the census worker, which was really fun.
So tell that story real quick before we get into our final story of the day.
Yeah, that was when they were doing. It's not really the census. I don't know what they were calling it. When they were going around with their little survey, community survey that they were conducting under the guise of the census. People may remember this. And one show, mm-hmm. lady showed up, and they're all like just volunteers getting, or not really volunteers, but it's kind of like a summer job. So the people are just doing this for some extra cash, and we'll take this clipboard, get training, go around with the laptop, and fill in the questionnaire. So the lady shows up on the on our doorstep, and I'm working for the census and blah blah blah. I need to ask you some questions, and would you be willing to answer? Yeah, absolutely. I said, great. She opens her little laptop and she gets everything set up, and then she begins to ask me information. So I answered, all of the things that I'm constitutionally required to answer.
So which is like three questions.
Yeah. So she was done pretty quickly as far as that information. But then she continued, and it was, how many, do you have livestock and how many this and all these other mm-hmm. crazy questions of what do you do with this and how much money and all that.
Right, yeah.
my answer to every question,
every one of those questions,
was none of your business. So she said, do you have livestock on your property? I said, none of your business. And she looked up at me and looked back down and then skipped to the next question. Then she asked me the other intrusive question. And I said, none of your business, with a smile. Mm-hmm. I was very polite. I was smiling the whole time. And I said, none of your business. And she kept on for, maybe about five or six questions like mm-hmm. that. She flipped to another screen, went to another section, and started another section. It looked like she skipped like a whole section. Like, mm-hmm. okay, this guy's not going to answer about this arena. Let's go to something else. And she went, and I said, none of your business. And she stopped with the first question of that section. And she kind of bends her laptop down and looks at me and says, is it safe to assume that you're not going to answer any of my further questions? I said, no, ma'am, absolutely not. I said, that is not the case. I said, I have, in fact, answered every question you've asked me. And she kind of cocked her head, with that confused dog-eared look.
Right.
And I could tell she was confused. And I said, my answer was none of your business. I said, but I've answered every question that I'm constitutionally required to answer.
Said by the husband, the true husband of a constitutional attorney. I've actually answered your questions.
Yeah, I answered your questions.
Just not the answer you wanted.
Yeah, I said I've answered every one of your questions. I said, none of your business. I said, that is my answer. I said, I can't help it that your computer program doesn't have a selection for that.
Uh-huh.
I said that, but that's when I said, but I've answered everything I'm constitutionally required to answer. And she literally took two steps back when I said that. And she had this furrowed brow, squinty look, and said,
very confused.
She said, what do you mean by that? And that's the point. I guess this had been a thing because you wrote a blog. Yeah. You had written a blog on it.
It was
fresh in my mind. So I literally quoted the section in the Constitution about the census, this and that. And I said, I have to answer, this, and this. And I said, all this other stuff you're asking me is not lawful. I'm not legally required, because she had mentioned that. You have to answer blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm not legally required to tell you this information. She said, I had no idea. I've never heard of that. Mm-hmm. And I reached in. There was a pocket constitution laying on the thing inside the door.
Imagine that in Chris Ann Hall's house. There's a pocket constitution laying around somewhere.
I pulled out this pocket. I said, yeah, it's right here. See this? And we have this constitutional training standing in the front yard. She goes, this is amazing. I should learn more about this. She goes, this is just like a summer job, just some extra cash. I'm just trying to do the job. I had no idea. I'm asking all this stuff. She said, this is not even legal what I'm doing. I can't believe this. And she freaks out. And
poor girl.
And yeah, I said, look, I understand. I get it. I said, they don't train people. They don't tell you. It's not your fault, but it's important. And you're going to probably run into, especially around here, you're going to run into a lot of this. And so now you understand why. And she's leaving going, thank you so much. And I'm giving her the website. I said, you want to learn more about this stuff at chrisanhall.com. Here's this and this. I think I actually handed her the Central Stories for Junior Patriots book. I said, you should read through this. If you, you know, if you found this interesting, you probably would like this book.
You know, we have a longtime supporter. His name is Charles Ray. You know Chuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has printed out stickers and his own little card yeah. things that he hands out. He puts stickers everywhere. ChrisAnnHall.com, yeah. Learn about the Constitution. He actually gave me a list, a sheet of them once. We were printing them out. And
you remember we were in, I don't know what state we were.
Imagine that.
Kansas or something. But we walked into a barbecue joint. I went to use the bathroom, and your website was written on the hand
yes!
towel rack in permanent marker. We had never been to this place before, and somebody had vandalized the bathroom with your website.
The men's room. And, yeah, at least it didn't give yeah. my phone number.
Not on, the, not on the stall, but on the towel dispenser.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, everybody.
That's not awesome. That's vandalism.
It's vandalism. I'm sorry.
It's interesting.
But it isn't. I think it's awesome. Sorry. But anyway, you know.
Then again, maybe the owners of the restaurant were there. I don't know.
Hey, maybe they could have. They didn't take it off.
No. No. They, there was nothing. There was no other graffiti, nothing on the anywhere else in that bathroom. But there that was. And yeah, you're right. They didn't remove it.
Well, I'm, you know, we all have to be a witness to the truth.
Yeah.
And what I say, we need to be, we all need to be professors of the truth.
Yeah,
not
so Donald,
in a university, but professing.
So Donald Trump could get on the stand, and I mean, here's an opportunity for a constitutional yeah. training session, and he could just school him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, that's what he ought to do.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I can't imagine. That's exactly what would happen if I was subpoenaed in one of these things. They,
yeah.
you know, I'd be like quoting the Constitution and the founders to them,
yeah.
making their heads explode.
And by the way, that was better with the census lady. That was better than, you know, screaming and
right.
cussing them out, slamming the door, whatever.
Right.
You know, take the opportunity. I know people get mad and they just
Which
flip
reminds
out.
Me, if you want to read that blog, you want to know about the census and why those new surveys are unconstitutional, go to ChrisAnnHall.com, and in our little search engine, all you have to put in is census. And it will bring up that article that will teach you the constitutional requirements for the census and the limitations of the federal government in their questioning process. Don't let them lie to you about your legal requirements.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. This is our last segment. It's a quick one, but I do want to mention this because our friend Kate Daly is asking for help for these parents. So here's what's happened. And I think, you know, JC hates these kind of kid stories, but we need to hear them. What has happened is there was a young man named Patrick at Carmel High School in Indiana in 2016. He had just received an email from the Air Force. He wanted to go to the Air Force after graduation. He had a 4.0 GPA. He was a great kid, had an impeccable school record. And what happened was he sent a questionable meme through Instagram, which was bad choice on his behavior, bad taste. It was making light of lynching. And it got back to the school principal. And so the principal brought him in to question him about this. Well, instead of just sort of saying, you know, Patrick, you're a great student, you're a great kid, this is a terrible thing, you recognize that this was a bad decision, so don't do it again. The principal and the student resource officer pulled him aside, questioned him, interrogated him for nearly 2 hours. It told him that he was going to be suspended, which means he would never be allowed to go into the Air Force. He could be expelled, and that his academic career would be over. They did this over this meme. And then they escorted him to his locker for the suspension or expulsion. And then they escorted him as a criminal out of the building. And about a half an hour later, he killed himself. Mm. Now, here's the moral of the story. All of this questioning was done outside the presence of his parents. Most states, people listen to this, most states tell their school boards, tell their principals and their teachers that they can do this outside the presence of the parents. This is lawful to do this. Now, this is not the only case that has happened. A similar case happened in Illinois, not far away in time from this. And what we need to do is, and this is the plea from this young man's parents, is to please, please get involved in your school boards. That our principals do not, our schools ought to never have the right to question our children without their parents present. They made him sign a ridiculous statement of guilt without his parents being present. Now, he is not of legal age to be making any kind of testimony, any kind of sworn statements, any kind of contracts whatsoever. He is not sovereign in the eyes of the law. And for me, as a parent, this is clearly child abuse. And we need to get involved with our schools. And that's exactly what these parents are asking. Please.
I would think before a disciplinary action that rises to the level of suspension, I would think it would be standard to consult with the parents. It sounds like they escorted him out of the, like, right then and there, and then escorted him out of the school.
Well, they called, according to the testimony of the parents, they called the father, but they didn't tell him that they had interrogated him. They called him a racist and made him feel demonized because of this this post, told him that his whole future was destroyed. But when they talk to the parents, they're like, look, we have to do this. This is just policy. And so he didn't even know this was a big deal. He's like, look, Patrick's got his own car. Can he just go ahead and drive himself home? Mm-hmm. And they called him after all of this was over. So it's like, look, you're ready to let him go. Just let him drive home. We'll talk about it when we get home. Mm. And so the school did not even tell the parents about how they had interrogated this young man by the parents' testimony for 3 hours. And the parents are pleading to other parents, please get involved. We need to get these laws changed on a statewide level.
Social media and hyper-racialization, as I see the two evil influences in this story, by the way.
And that's exactly what it is, not to mention unfettered power over our children. We will be addressing this again sometime soon, but we will see you on Saturday.
Let me know.